Yeah, it's a U of t in state space is a generalized input, but that input could equal the U of t, which is the step function, right? So this is the step function here, unit step function. This is also U of t from state space. Okay, Joe.
But, sorry, kind of unrelated, but is U of t or the only place I've seen U of t for a step function is wall to wall. Everywhere else I've seen it uses
one
theta.
Plus.
Uses theta.
Theta. Oh yeah. Well. Okay, so now that's three ways of writing U of t.
I've only seen U as wall to wall.
Right. Well, if you in your textbook, they use U of t, right? And in most linear network analysis, or network analysis or circuits textbooks, they use U of t as a step function.
Okay.
And also in some signal processing textbooks, they use U of t. Now, the physics guys, sometimes they use 1 plus of t, like this. They'll write it like this, 1 plus of t. And like you say, then there's some other people that use theta of t, and these are all alternate U of t expressions or names.
So at least 1 plus of t isn't used
And sometimes people write it like this. They write it like this. 1 plus s, 1 plus, I can write here, sgn of t over 2. Or sgn of t is plus 1 for t greater than 0, minus 1 for t less than 0. And it's a sine of t, right? So, yeah. All these, what shall I say? And I think it's not so much Walla Walla versus somewhere else, but it's really a function of which discipline you're in. Whether it's physics, I don't know if you noticed that on spherical or no cylindrical coordinates. Spherical coordinates. The physics guys swap the theta and the phi from the math guys. Isn't that annoying?
Oh, yes.
I know, it's why can't they get together, right? And so it's really more the discipline you come from that's the thing. So let's see, I don't know everything, but compared to you, I can see how it would look that way. I love it. Okay.
Standard issue engineering
t-shirt. That's right.
Engineering t-shirt. And Alan, you need to pick up the exam that we did yesterday since you weren't here. Yeah. But I didn't bring it down. I did bring a worksheet, so I can give you that. Anybody else need one? Okay. Oh, it's for Alan. Yeah, it is. There you go. Okay. So here's what we have. We need another homework today.
Oh my God. Do we really need one?
Well,
I haven't finished the last. I didn't even start the last one.
What was? That's the last one, right?
You mean the one that's due today?
No, it's finally due tomorrow, Friday. I mean, tomorrow, right?
Every
time. Because nothing is due on Tuesday.
Every time I think it's finally due
nothing
Thursday.
Nothing's due on Tuesday.
If I turned it in.
We don't have anything due on Tuesday. It goes Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Those are the initially due, finally due dates, and Tuesdays.
I didn't know that all quarter.
Oh, man.
That's fine.
Yeah.
It's better the way I was doing it then.
Yeah, probably, yeah. So I don't know. So you guys, you're feeling like you don't need homework?
It's up to
you. I have a pile of half-finished homework on my desk.
Yeah, we could.
The thing I'm worried about is that how are you going to understand how to do this stuff we're doing now?
Well, the lecture worksheet itself and the practice.
Oh, this is a pretty cheesy lecture worksheet. What is it?
What if we handed in the practice test that you handed out?
What if we made that?
Are you needing something more?
We could do that. That's a lot bigger than the problem I was going to give you, but
huge. Yeah.
Since the practice.
Like, but I mean, that's fine. You guys need to do that test, right?
Every time we do that,
it should be
we automatically do better.
Could we have more time?
Yeah, so let's say okay, we're going to do that, but we'll do that sometime next week. How's that? Because you really, at this point, you don't know enough stuff to do that.
Okay.
So.
You said we'll do it, but it won't be due until.
We'll make it a homework next week. Okay.
Good deal.
So you guys, you know, you can work on it. You need to do that because you got to get ready for the final, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know that you have to do every exam that you can get your hands on before the final, right? The final is what really matters. If you get 100% on the final, you get an A in the class. I don't even have to look at any of the other stuff you do. I just say A in the class. You get 100% on the final, okay?
Has anyone gotten 100% yet this quarter?
There is somebody in the class, I think, that has 100% on every exam so far, or close to it, okay? Maybe, I can't remember, might have missed one point somewhere, but I don't think so, okay? There are guys in this class know what's going on. Like, they need to be wearing your shirt there, right?
Yeah, they need to differentiate themselves from the nameless masses.
Yeah. What I'm saying is I want you to do work on that final. That final is really what matters to me. I feel really good when people do really good on the final. I mean, that means that they figured it out in the end, right? So.
Although, considering that the first two tests are also worth 20% each.
Yeah, but the thing is, one of those tests can be replaced with the score on the final, right? So
the ones dropped.
That is assuming you've been coming to class. That's assuming you've been coming to class. You know, read the syllabus. What's that?
Your lowest one gets replaced by...
With the final, if the final is higher than the lowest one. Right? So, you know... Anyway, so there is time, but that only works provided you look at the syllabus. I don't remember how many skips you got, but you had to be doing attendance, okay? So, I'll make an easy homework today, and that'll kind of solve it. Is that okay? An easy one? So this is homework number...
13,
okay.
Probably keeping track by the lecture worksheets. Solve X dot.
We.
Give you the A matrix, so you don't even have to do a circuit or, you know, something like that to get it.
Oh yeah, I like this.
Okay.
That's so nice.
This is like a math class, right? Lauren.
It is a math class.
Yeah.
No. I was almost saying if he could give us the A matrix of like a circuit.
Well, this could be the A matrix for the, it's almost like the A matrix for the one you had like yesterday, right? Or last day. Monday, I guess, not yesterday. But there, I think there was a zero in one of those positions, right? I just gave you a random A matrix here.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay.
So it could have been, you know, that with special values of L, R, and C.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to make your life a little easier with less review of previous material, right? Does that make sense? You can have circuit without an input. The only inputs here you might think of are these initial conditions. In other words,
like
there's...
switch gets turned off.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. It's like you charged up the capacitor and you let it discharge or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing we're looking at. And why am I looking at that? Because today I want to do this problem. This is, it's an interesting problem. And I should put here, use eigenvalue. Oops, I can't write. Mm. use eigenmethods. I'll just say eigenmethods. You know what I mean by that. Okay? So that's what we're going to do. We're looking at eigenmethods. Because we did Laplace transforms last day, right? That was not too tough. Eigenmethods isn't too tough either. So here I have this this x dot equals a x, and I want to try and figure out how to solve that thing. So I'm going to say one way to do it is to say x equals some vector. I'll call it w times e to the st. This is a vector. You had a question, Alan?
Yeah, what exactly is your notation there with the x?
Oh, and okay. This means a column vector. The squiggly means a square matrix, and that means a column vector. So this thing looks like an example.
So you're using a dot instead of a prime?
Right, yes, exactly. It means d dt. So this means d dt of... x1, x2 of t equals this 1, 2, 3, 4 times x1 of t, whoops, I'm stuttering on the board, x1 of t, x2 of t, something like that. That's the problem I want you to solve, okay? This is x dot equals a x. This is the a.
Now, how do we, I guess, when you said use eigenmethods instead of Laplace transforms, does that just mean that we're doing Laplace transform, but with Laplace transform?
I'll demonstrate here today. So here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try a solution of x equals some vector w times e to the st. Okay. S is just, I could do e to the lambda t if you'd like, right? But we've been using S, so I think I'll just use S. So you can see S and lambda, it's basically going to be the same kind of a thing, okay? Lambda is what the mathematicians use. It's just like Joe was talking about, right? They have the physics guys have one way of doing it. The mathematicians have another way of doing it, right? Different labels for the same idea, right? So, oh yeah, it's interesting. If you look at Newton's stuff, you can't even read his stuff because his notation, he doesn't use ddt.
He uses something else.
He uses some weird stuff, It's not easy to read Newton's, Principia, yeah. It's fun to try, but it's not easy.
Besides that he wrote it in Latin.
No, he didn't.
No, yeah. It's not too bad. But it does use a different kind of notation for calculus stuff. He doesn't use, integrals and like with signs we use, right?
Well, I suppose he didn't. It is kind of his right to use whatever.
Yeah, that's right. But it's interesting that we ended up using Leibniz's way of doing things, writing it,
he
right?
He hadn't met Leibniz yet, so he couldn't plagiarize.
Yeah, he did use dots, I think, didn't he?
Dots,
yeah.
I forget the.
Yeah. So anyway. So we're just going to plug this back in, right? So, substitute in. Okay.
So SW equals ST?
Yeah, so it'll be S times W e to the ST equals A times W times e to the ST. Right? Did I do that right?
Yeah.
Travis thinks so.
But then I said it in the first place.
Right. Mm-hmm. What do the rest of you guys think?
Yeah, it looks like it should work.
I just took the derivative here, brings the S down, right? That's all. And then I just plugged in here and right. So that wasn't too hard. Now, in order to make this work, it looks like everything's going to work because I can divide off the e to the st on either side. This e to the st is a 1 by 1. It's a constant. It's a coefficient of both sides of the equation, right? So it's not a problem to do this. I can write S times W equals A times W, right? Hmm, that's interesting. Isn't that kind of like, it's like lambda times W equals A times W. Have you seen this before? Yeah, you have. This is the eigenvalue eigenvector problem, isn't it? So, we sort of follow it the same way. So what do we say? Well, there's the first possibility would be that a W is the zero vector, right? I mean, if we could just invert, well, we can, well, we better write some algebra here first. Make the board a little cleaner. Makes the notes turn out nicer. Let's try this. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take and bring them, I'm going to say SW minus AW equals zero, right? And then I can write an I right in here. So I'm going to put an I in there. That's the identity matrix. You can always put an I anywhere. Okay, so far from that to that, is that okay? The amount of bringing the AW is just subtraction. And then I'm going to factor out this thing SI minus A times W equals zero. Is this okay? Okay. And now this is the old eigenvalue eigenvector problem. You know, it's that thing with just a little bit of algebra to it, right? And so there's two possibilities. First of all, either W equals the zero vector, that was if SI minus A is invertible. Oops. I write this right. Or SI minus A is not invertible, right? And that would imply that the determinant of SI minus A equals zero. That would mean the determinant is zero when the thing is not a full rank. Or another way of looking at this is if I wanted to invert SI minus A, it would be the adjoint matrix of SI minus A. In other words, I could say SI minus A inverse equals the adjoint of SI minus A divided by the determinant of SI minus A. And you see, if it's not invertible, then that thing in the bottom is probably zero, right? That makes sense? You divide it by zero. But anyway, what really means is the rank of this matrix is not full. SI minus A doesn't have a full rank. Or another way of saying that is the determinant of SI minus A is zero, right? That means the top row, if it was a 2x2, and I did, if this is the A, if I do SI minus A, the top row is a linear combination of the bottom row. In other words, with a 2x2, the top row would be a number times the bottom row, right?
Which means that they're linearly dependent,
right? Okay, so what we have to do then is we don't like this solution. This is the trivial solution. Oh, this guy is the trivial solution. And we don't want him, because that would just say that x was zero. And x was zero does not agree with our initial conditions in our problem. And so if the initial conditions did have zero, then we'd say, yeah, the trivial solution is the solution, right? But that's kind of a boring problem, and most of the time it's not going to be true, right?
And not very useful.
Yeah, right, not very useful. Okay, so
if the initial conditions are zero,
then the trivial solution is correct.
Would that be the only correct?
Yeah, that would be the only correct solution. Yep. Okay, so now what we have to do to make this non-trivial solution happen is we have to do this determinant of SI minus A and set it equal to zero, right? So I guess I should do an example problem now, right? So, example. I'm going to do an easy example.
KBCB?
No. Okay, I'm going to do an easy example. I could do a harder one later, but this is, I mean, we just don't want to get bogged down in the arithmetic, right? Mm. Okay, so, so for the example, I need to do Si minus A. So the determinant of Si minus A is equal to, well, it's the determinant of Si looks like this, right? And then I subtract A, and that looks like this. And then I have that, right? Which equals, in any way here, I have the determinant of the matrix S minus 1, 0, 0, S minus 2, right? Which equals, so determinant of Si minus A is now going to equal S minus 1 times S minus 2 minus 0. So I take this minus that times that, right? Is that okay? Okay, so and I'm going to set that equal to 0, right? Because I wanted to set the determinant of Si minus A equal to 0, right? That was what this equation said. And that, by the way, is the characteristic equation. So if I put this equal 0, this thing is the characteristic equation. Okay, determinant of Si minus A equals 0. That's the characteristic equation. It's actually your old friend. When you solve this problem, so you see these two first order coupled differential equations I had here, like this. Actually, mine are uncoupled, but yours are coupled. But, you know, if this is two first order coupled differential equations, you could then put that in, make a second order differential equation by substituting the second equation into the first equation, right? And then when you did that, solve that second order equation, you would assume an e to the st type of solution, right? And you would end up with a characteristic equation. You remember doing that back in circuits? You know, f squared plus something equals 0. You know, when you did underdamped and overdamped and critically damped circuits. You remember that? Second order circuits. So that's what you get, right? So in this case, this tells me two eigenvalues. The eigenvalues are this. Eigenvalues are S equals 1 and S equals 2, right? Everybody agree? Okay. So we haven't completely solved the problem yet. We just found the values of S that make it work. Now we need to find the values of W. The W's are vectors, right? So we had the equation SW equals AW, right? So SW equals AW. So start out with S equals S1, which equals 1, okay? So I'm going to have 1 times W. W is W1. 1W12, and I'm going to call this guy here W1 because W1 will go with S1. There will be two values of two different W vectors that will work, one for each S. Okay. So this is the one that works with S1. So I got 1. This is S1 right here. S1. S1W1 equals A. A over here, this is the A matrix. A was 1, 0, 0, 2, right? And then I have to put W11, W12 right there. So this is W1. So this is basically saying S1, W1 equals A, W1. Okay? Came from this equation right over here. You could also plug it in right here if you wanted. S1i minus A times W equals 0, right? So what this says is I guess it's probably better to write it the S1i minus A. It's easier, right? So we'll do that. So I have 1 minus 1. I'm going to put in S1i minus A times W1 equals. So 1 minus 1 and 0. And I'm going to have 0 and 1 minus 2 times W11, W12 equals 0, 0. Is that okay? So I actually went to this way of writing it right here, right? Basically followed through all those steps, came down to here, decided it was easier to solve this one than it was that one. I mean, you could do either way, right? All you do is change my A to your A.
Well, yeah.
So you have S minus 1, minus 2, minus 3, S minus 4, right? Take the determinant of that, set it equal to 0, you'll find two S values, kind of like I did.
Okay. So you'll end up with two of those equations.
Yes, yes, I will. I'm just doing the first one right now. Okay, so now this says, the top equation says, 0 W11 plus 0 W12 equals 0. Okay, that's the top equation, right? The bottom equation is says 0 W11 plus a minus 1 times W12 equals 0, right? So top one didn't tell us anything, but the bottom one said that W12 equals 0, right? You agree? And these two equations are linear combinations of the other. In other words, the top equation is 0 times the bottom equation. Okay? Everybody see that? If I take 0 times this bottom equation, multiply this guy by 0, I get the top equation, which is 0, 0, 0, right? 0 equals 0. Okay, now we need to do the second one. So, for the second eigenvalue, S2 equals, what was it? S2 equaled 2. Yeah. S2 equals 2, as we do. So now we're going to have the same thing. This is the SI minus A, only I'm going to use S2. Maybe I should write that. I can write that with the skipping steps. I can do S2 identity matrix minus A times W2 equals 0. Okay? So when I write this, it's going to look like this. It's going to be S2 minus 1, 0, 0, S2 minus 2. Right? And then I'm going to have W21, W22. And this is the W2 vector, and this is S2 times the identity minus A. Okay? And my apologies if this is boring. Okay? S2 was equal to 2, right? That's 2, and that's 2, right? So the top equation is 2 minus 1, which is 1, W21, plus 0, W22, equals 0, which implies W21 equals 0. And the bottom equation says 0, W21, plus 0, W22, equals 0, which implies nothing. Right? Make sense? This is just 0 times the top equation. Now, why is the bottom equation a linear combination of the top equation? Because we set the determinant over here equal to 0, right? If we didn't do that, then we'd be back to the trivial solution, right? Okay, so now we've got this down here. This tells you what W1 is. Let's write W1 here. W1 equals W11. Who knows what it called? Just call it W11, right? And then the other one is 0, right? And over here we have W2 equals 0, W21, right? Everybody agree? Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we need to get the whole solution, right? Now this is a linear equation. We started out with a linear equation back over here. And so if you found two solutions, then using superposition, the total solution should be a linear combination of those two solutions. Now how much of each of those solutions depends on our initial conditions, which I forgot to write in here. So let me write the initial conditions. X of 0 equals, what do you want?
1 and 1.
Okay. We'll do that for Travis. Yes, that's right. Okay. So X of 0 is this. The A is that. We're solving this X dot equals AX. That specifies the total problem, right? Okay. Everybody agree? So now we just need to write down the solution, right? Well, we found solutions that we guessed a solution that was W e to the ST, and we found two S's and two W's, right? So the answer for the whole solution for X of T is going to be equal to W1 e to the S1 T plus W2 e to the S2 T, right? You agree? So what's that? Well, that's equal to W1 was over here. W11, 0, times e to the, S1 was 1, right? E to the t, right? Plus 0, W21, e to the 2t, right? You agree? So we got two growing exponential solutions. Now, how do we find out what W11 and W21 are? We haven't quite got that, right?
I'm guessing it's with the initial condition.
Excellent. You got it. So X of 0
slow down, man.
Equals, slow down.
Yeah.
Equals. Well, if I put in t equals 0, this is e to the 0, which is 1. So I just get W21, no, that's W11, right? W11, that's a 1 here, it's hard to read, but that's a 1. W11 and W21 times, which is equal to 11. So that tells me W11 is 1 and W21 is 1, right?
Yes.
We got it. We solved it, right? Yeah, almost trivial solution. I admit I picked the easiest problem I could think of, right?
Is this one going to be on our test?
Well, there was one like this on the test that I handed out to you on Tuesday, wasn't there? It was also uncoupled, right? And remember how the difficulties you had with that? Because there were two separate circuits, right? And they were only connected by the ground wires, right? Wasn't that kind of interesting? Well, this is what happens when you have two separate circuits and they're only connected by the ground wires. In other words, these diagonal terms, if they're 0, that means you could solve the first one and then you could solve the second one, right? So we could have gone back to this, you know, thing right here when I gave myself such an easy thing and say, oh, this is ridiculous using this sledgehammer to slay this ant here. We could, do something much easier and just solve the first equation and the second equation, right?
Is this supposed to be W22?
No, it's actually, maybe it is. I guess it is W22, right?
Okay.
No. I must have messed up here.
Because you have W21 equals 0.
What did I have over here? This one said W12 is 0. Oh, yeah, W12 is 0 right here. And this said W21, so this should have been W22, you're right. 22. There we go.
So your...
And any time you see minus signs like this when you factor the characteristic equation, it's time to stop and think. Is this physically likely? Because if it came from a circuit that doesn't have some positive feedback or doesn't have something that could be giving you negative resistance, which would be, I suppose I should turn this thing on. Well, I guess it's already on. It should be a negative resistance, like a diamond-shaped source, right? Diamond-shaped sources you can make negative resistors out of. Do you understand that? Oh, here, this is just an aside here. You shouldn't have got out of circuits without knowing this, but here we go. Here's a resistor, right? This is R, right? Here's V, and here's I, right? Okay. Now, I can't make a negative resistor because resistors are always positive, but if I wanted to make one out of, if I could make any diamond-shaped source I wanted to, that's a dependent source, like this, diamond-shaped, and this guy right here, suppose I could make him go like this, and I would just make this R, or V over R, and this is V right here. Now, notice this, the current coming out there, it's just like this if I had a negative R, right? So maybe I should make this, sort of V over R, maybe I should just call him, call him alpha V or something, and alpha is equal to minus 1 over R, right? Because the resistance, if this is the current going in right here, I, right? V equals I times minus 1 over alpha, right? Well, another way of saying it is the ratio of V over I is the resistance, right? And I get minus 1 over alpha. Anyway, so when you have those diamond-shaped sources in your circuit, all bets are off about, these guys could be possible right here. Because if I had negative resistors, you could have, growing exponential solutions, right? So, but normally you don't have negative resistors, and so when you see this thing right here, you say, oh, big trouble. And if you're building a feedback and control system, then you can have stuff like that, right? You can make stuff like that. And so you need to be careful. And in feedback and control systems, you take that class next quarter, this thing is red flag, deep trouble. It's going to blow your thing up. It's going to ruin your apparatus, okay? It's going to might kill somebody. So not a good thing, right?
So
watch out.
One is S plus, and the other is S minus.
Anytime you have any S minuses, you're in trouble, because the S plus ones are going to die off like this, and the S minus is going to get bigger and bigger, and you're toast. All you need is one of those to kill you, right? It's only one.
So what would it take for a circuit to get modified such that it
had positive feedback or whatever?
I mean, Are there situations where you get positive feedback from a system breaking down?
Sure. I mean,
microphone up your speaker.
Yeah, cool. That's right. Yeah.
I've never seen microphone break that way.
Yeah.
Because we always kill it.
Well, that's because the electrical engineering can be safe, you know, in some ways. But think about this. Suppose it was, you know, an automobile control system, right?
Oh.
You know, that could easily run over somebody, right?
Also, or we usually hit the mute button before it deafens everyone in the stadium.
Yeah, right.
Well, we did that the one project.
In general, on your...
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't fixed that one.
The one project?
TSS got your speaker and fixed it.
What wasn't our speaker, though?
Somebody.
So
you blew out one speaker at the one project.
Blew it out of the tweeter, yeah.
Oops.
Okay.
So you see, it can break, right? Okay. So do you get the idea how this works? Do you want to do a more complicated example, or do you got the idea? This is.
I got it.
I'm going to go review my linear algebra book.
Yes. Go get your linear algebra book. Man, Travis had his on Tuesday, and he was looking at it. Man, it just warmed my heart. And then he had to burst my bubble and say, well, you know, I'm in this class, too. I got to do that homework, right? Adam.
So, besides using these things as an alternative to little Fox transforms, what else?
Are they good for?
To solve circuits, yeah. Like,
and it's not just circuits. This could be a mechanical system, right?
Yeah, sinusoidal
mechanical. No, maybe not sinusoidal. Maybe some other kind of mechanical system. Could be a
but
shock absorber.
It's just ODE, right?
Yeah, just a differential equation, any linear differential equation. Right?
Like second order ones, right?
Yeah, second or third order or fourth order. Or
more than one order.
Yeah. Well, one order, too.
Yeah, but
single order, you just...
Single order, that's
yeah.
So easy, you know.
You know,
you've done that, like, the old-fashioned way, right?
Is this, like, analogous to, like, the Tacoma Narrows bridge failure?
Well, you know...
So like, reinforcing, like, harmonics, like...
Yeah, what they had was they didn't have a thing like this. They also had an input, right? The wind,
right?
Right,
but it was acting with the
wind. Right, it was... Yeah, there wasn't enough damping, and so the thing started going bigger and bigger. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, for the MEs, that's an important, or maybe it's the CEs, that's an important thing, right?
On occasion.
Okay, so I need to do, what shall I do? Another example?
Well,
I guess I should take a picture. Are there questions?
I don't know if anybody else would do it, but I would like to see our RC circuit made into the state equations again.
Okay.
That
we'll start... Or maybe, could I do a mechanical example?
Well, if you have to.
If I have to? Okay, let me do a mechanical example, because mechanical stuff is kind of fun too, right? Yeah. You know, Ralph right now, you know, he's down in the lab playing with this thing. He got this extruder head from Luke Chilson, where you can, you know, you make your own rapid prototyping machine. He's down there, he's hoping to get it all done today. You know, so he had this, you know, Plinier project from before. So he's going to make, you know, a great big rapid prototype machine that's running under Linux. He uses Linux CNC instead of, you know, all the stuff. And instead of having, you know, a $200 cartridge or the whatever, you know, we'll use the cheap stuff. And so, you know, we could, you know, his whole thing will cost $200. And you know, that's what one cartridge costs for our rapid prototyper that we have down in the ME lab. And you got to know Pro-E to use the ME lab. And, oh, man, this is like going to be better at all under Linux, right? So, you know, ME stuff, I'm even excited about that. That's cool.
So is the system he's using based on what the outfit of based in Hermiston?
Yeah, right. Yeah, Luke Chilson. He was one of our students.
Where
did you go? He's a great
center from
Yeah, he lives in Hermiston, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
in Hermiston. Well, Ralph is in the other room.
Ralph's doing it
in the other room. And Luke sent us the extruder head, which is basically, it's like a little hot glue gun,
right.
You know, and it's a little head for the hot glue gun, right, with the... I mean, at least that's what I use. I don't know what they use, but I'm guessing that's what it is. You know, and they just have a stepper motor that they feed little plastic wire in. And man, it's cool. So now I'm going to have to learn some CAD software so I can make my own boxes and things, you know, for all my electronic projects. Okay, that's probably enough. Let's okay, so let's do a pendulum problem, okay? I like pendulums. So I've got a pendulum hanging here. This is a mass, M. And I'm going to make this distance here, L. Okay? And I'm going to call that angle right there, theta. Okay? So positive theta is going around. Oh, maybe I should have done it the other way. Should I call this minus theta?
It's minus 10 from Riley.
What's that?
It's minus 10 from Riley.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so here we have this thing right here, right? So we got to write F equals MA, right? So we want to make a state equation for this, make a state model for this. Yeah, right. Okay, so if I remember, it's summation of torques equals J alpha, right? J is moment of inertia, or do you use the I? What do you guys use?
I use I.
Okay. Summation of torques equals I alpha. And I don't know, my problem is I can't remember I for this crazy mass here, so I'm probably going to have to go back to summation of forces equals mass times acceleration. Is that okay? Because I can't remember. Yeah, it's probably mr squared or something. Summation of forces equals mass times acceleration, right? So, anyway, same difference. So, I've got mg coming down here, right? Agree? This angle right here would also be minus theta, right? And it's only really going to be able to move in the theta direction, right? So what I want to do is I want to summation the forces in the theta direction equals the mass times acceleration in the theta direction. That way it's really a vector equation, but I'm only going to pick the one that matters because the other one is constrained, right? The string can't stretch. That makes sense? So and the force in the theta direction is the component of this force that is in this direction. I want this component right here, right? And so that's going to be mg sine of minus theta, right? You agree? Mg sine of minus theta. And I got to think about the sine of this thing here. Equals theta positive is this way, right? So it's going to be m theta, m, what is it? Not m, yeah, mass. I need mass. And what is it? It's L theta, right? So ML theta double dot, right? Because L theta is the arc length, right?
For small angles.
No, it's just the arc length, right?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't done the small angles yet, but the arc length, the arc is L theta, right? Yeah, 2 pi r or 2 pi L is the length all the way around, right? So L theta is the arc length, right? And I'm taking two derivatives of that. So the arc length. So mg sine minus theta mg. Now I got to think about this thing right here. Sine of minus theta is a minus number, right? M is a plus number, g is a plus number, right? And I can see from this thing it's going to be a positive number because it's making me go in the positive theta direction, right? Positive theta is around like this, right? So this is positive increasing theta. And theta equals 0 is straight down. Okay? Is that all right?
Yes.
So this is right here, theta equals 0 straight down. So I'm going to say this really needs a minus sign in front. Do you agree? No. Does it or doesn't it? It's pushing it. Yeah, it does need a minus sign because the sine of minus theta. No,
yeah.
Sine of what is?
Well,
actually, sine of.
A minus sign.
So do I want the minus? So what is? I mean, if this thing was hanging over here, right? It would be sine of theta, right? And I'd need a negative thing. So I guess that minus does what I want. Okay, so I guess we're all right. I don't need that minus. Okay, so now. Right, so I get this minus mg sine of positive theta using the, you know, odd nature of theta as ml theta double dot.
This is the l theta double dot is alpha, right? Not
this is alpha, yes, this is alpha. And this is the force in the theta direction. This a sub theta is alpha, right? Is that right? No. No, this is not a theta.
No.
Alpha is theta double dot.
That a would be
alpha is theta double dot, not. Right? This is alpha. Omega is theta dot, right? And alpha is theta double dot, right?
Yeah.
So this is ML alpha. So if we did this thing, we could actually figure out what the torque was and figure out what the I was there. So anyway, I'm going to have to, I could divide by M here, and I'm going to have theta double dot, I'm going to divide by ML, plus G over L sine theta equals 0. And we'll have to continue this on from next day. Are there any questions?
Oh, well, I was thinking since that acceleration, would it be V squared over R plus R alpha? Remember the
we're not afraid of Greek.
The acceleration when you're going in a circle is like centripetal force.
That would be the force outward. I'm doing the one this way. I'm doing the tangential component, right?
Yeah. So
but there is a force on the string here, which is V squared over R, right? That's going out this way.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing that. I'm doing the component in this direction.
Yeah, so the component in that direction is like R alpha. Which is
right, I think which is this thing
alpha,
right
yeah.
here.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
And this is R, L is R, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Alpha, yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I have to go back to the very fundamentals here. McKinsey.
On the great. So I did the inverse Laplace, and
mm-hmm.
I got this in the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
So is that the equations for I of t and u of t?
Yeah, that should be, assuming everything's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all in complex.
Yeah, right.
I can just like use
you could actually plot it on MATLAB, you know, and see if it agrees with what you think. And you could also use the complete the square method, the other method, to try and see if you got the same thing, right?
Yeah, I was thinking, I checked it with Wolfram Alpha, this top one is kind of, because they use cosine instead of the,
mm-hmm.
And so I just using Ergo's method and looking at this.
It looked the same.
Yeah.
Cool. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
He probably got about as far as I did in.
Okay.
Did you start?
Oh, no.